This is Jim Sklavunis of the Vanity Set, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Lávese las manos, evite a las personas enfermas y evite tocarse la cara. Hay acciones cotidianas para ayudar a prevenir la propagación de enfermedades respiratorias. Visite cdc.gov/COVID-19. Gentileza de la National Association of Broadcasters y de esta estación.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable.
Kid Millions, Green it's Tom
and Southern
from,
Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet and cable phone services for homes and businesses
since
1971.
So hold on, we'll put you on in 30 seconds.
Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections. On the web at mhcable.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mayo of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your support.
Hey, everybody, this is WGXC and Wave Farm on the internet.
Gig Talk.
Were in the past, what gigs are now, and what they might be in the future.
Yeah.
How you doing, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm celebrating today because I got my, I've reached puberty. So I've decided it's cool because I've become a real adult now.
You're 12?
Well, I'm not 12, but what age is puberty?
I think it's like 12.
Okay, well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So I feel like in quarantine, you know, in the hockey leagues, they have these people that they won't shave their beards until they win the Stanley Cup or whatever, you know? You have to get through the whole season. And I feel like it's the same thing with quarantine. I feel like it's sort of like Benjamin Button style. You go back in time, and then you finally hit puberty, and I feel like we're about to graduate, and the graduation.
Well, that's exciting. So are you feeling some new urges that you weren't, like, that you knew in the past, and now you're feeling them again for the first time?
Yeah, for the first time. It's like, feeling like the first time. Feeling for the first time.
It makes beyond just, like, Kevin, beyond you sharing your news about puberty, and thank you for that, we have a special guest correspondent on the phone with us. Hey, John, are you there? Can you hear us?
I am. Yeah, I am here, man. I'm here.
Cool. Okay.
What
so,
you doing?
How are you? Yes. Say hello to Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. What's up, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm good. Yeah. I'm happy to hear about your changes, I guess.
Oh, you heard that. Well, that was supposed to be private. I didn't know we were online yet, so it's my fault.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I heard it, and I appreciate it.
Well, you know what? Before we get into the meat and the grit of your article, John, why don't we just talk from one drummer to another how you guys are coping with not being able to hit the sticks in front of people?
Oh my God, I'm really embarrassed because I teach drums too. Do you, Kevin?
Only if someone asks me for something specific, but in general, I don't. I should try though. I guess the main thing is you have to have a kind of a system, right? Do you have like a specific system that you've developed over the years?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know if it's good, but it's a system, and
that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So I teach. I still teach. I'm teaching over Zoom, but I haven't been able to get to my studio. So I'm like not really doing as much work as my students. It's pretty. It's pretty horrifying. It's a bad reality.
Do you have like a daily, like a rudimental ritual style thing that you do every day to warm up, or like something like that?
No. I should, but I don't right now. I'm giving myself a break. Do you?
No, I mean I try to like. I mean I always have this warm up that I do, but I feel like kind of dumb. But only recently I found out about Alan Dawson's rudimental ritual, and I've been trying to run that, but it's like. you know, my I got to get those rudiments together. They're a little bit some of them are like pretty challenging at the tempo. Obviously he goes super fast, but so I've been trying to get into a harder, like, you know, daily.
Evan, how much coffee did you drink today?
Do I sound all hyped up?
Yeah, you're a little too hyped, man. Slow down, brother.
Hey, man. The other thing is, I've been using slams. I've been doing the 26 rudiments. I've been also expanding to the Swiss rudiments. I've been always supposed to do the snare drum. I've been standing too. It's supposed to help with your posture. I've been using the
pro pad. Slow, slow. Jesus.
So yeah, this is drum talk, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, drum talk can continue, and like, it's great to have two drummers on the line. But John, tell us about this article you wrote that is breaking news today.
Okay, so basically, I was reporting on just live music during COVID-19, and most of what was happening live music wise was in South Korea, because they've done a lot of good management of the outbreak. They have a really robust tracking system. Testing is in place, and so they never really shut down the country like we're experiencing here. Restaurants remained open, cafes remained open. Some larger venues closed, but in general, the stuff that we do, I'm just saying, Matt, Kevin, and I, small gigs in front of 5 to 30 people, there's that kind of stuff is still going on every night in Seoul. And the rest of the country. And it's basically it boils down to the way that the government handled the outbreak.
Mm. Is the size of a live house in front of 5 to 30 people in South Korea the same size as it would be in Tokyo, or are they much bigger spaces?
No, they're not really tiny in Tokyo. It's but they're more comparable to the US, but Seoul is an incredibly densely populated city. So, yeah, I mean, space is a premium, but it's basically the way things work there is that cafes can host shows, and since they kind of fell under the restaurant designation and restaurants remained open, they could still operate.
Right.
So that's kind of the gist. Yeah.
Well, I like that. That seems like it's pushing music to become back to the sort of realm of a social function rather than it having to be based on fame. Right.
For sure.
That's what it's acknowledging, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to, it's not like they're doing shows with massive bands. It's just people getting together who don't have huge audiences who are playing, but they're playing shows all over this country. There's zero concerts, zero. I'm saying the U.S., right?
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah.
The only show that was happening is the other thing I reported on. There was a show booked for tomorrow. It was happening in Fort Smith, Arkansas, at a place called Temple Live, which was a converted Masonic temple. And it's a 1,100 capacity venue. And they were we're going to do a show. And so they made 20% of the available seats available for sale. So it's a 229 tickets went on sale. And they were we're going to do X, Y, and Z to protect the audience. And the governor of Arkansas told them that they couldn't do the show. That was kind of the latest news today. And so they're not doing the show tomorrow. So as of now, there's no live music in the entire country,
Right. Yeah.
And we can blame the government up for that.
Yeah, the quote you had from the venue, it felt like a pretty bold quote, I remember reading. Like, was the dude like, we're going to, like, did he seem, he didn't seem concerned for general health population.
Yeah, they're framing it. I mean, okay, I'm not going to, I don't want to say that they're not concerned, but they're framing it as like a freedom kind of thing where they want to gather. Churches apparently in Arkansas don't have the same restrictions as like these kinds of spaces. So they're like, we want to have a gathering, and why can't we? And the governor's kind of just like, I'm sorry, but you can't.
Yeah.
But it's framed from it's like framed as a freedom thing.
Dude,
you know.
Yeah. Like the main, as you said, and I haven't really kept up with the statistics, but South Korea is testing. You can almost get daily tests there, right? If necessary or deemed, something like that.
Yeah, they have a really robust testing infrastructure, and if somebody tests positive, this might blow your mind. If someone tests positive, their GPS data is automatically shared to, you know, the authorities, and then they trace this person's path throughout the city when they've been positive for the virus, and then they will publish the path to everyone's cell phone in the whole country. And they're like, yo, this person has been here and here and here, so if you were at these places, you should get tested.
Oh, man.
I mean, honestly, that makes sense, and, like, that's super logic. And, like, I've personally never been a person that is worried about digital privacy. I mean, I recognize that our digital privacy is already being invaded at all times, and like the way Facebook listens to our phone, and suddenly an ad pops up for like hair cream or something like that after I talk about how I want like my hair to be more robust and beautiful, and suddenly I get Perk Plus ads popping up. You know, like I'm cool with that.
Hello,
especially if like. The benefit is that we could all show up at places and feel some modicum of safety, right?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's complicated. It's like, for me personally, I think there were so many things that the government, and I don't just mean the federal government, I don't just mean the Trump government is a nightmare, but it is. But I also think that even like New York, the government of New York State and New York City were also a little bit behind the curve on this, and they didn't do enough stuff early enough. And
sure.
So we're in this situation because, you know, people didn't do what was necessary, and now it's in this weird way where I feel like a lot of people like you and I who are in the music world are kind of sleepwalking and feeling like, man, you know, what can we do? We can't do anything. But this is really, there's no other reason that this happened in this way aside from the government's and the departments of health's way of handling it, you know? And preparing or not preparing.
Yeah. Here's a sort of funny question. Do you think, like, down the line when some version of this is resolved? you're laughing, Kevin, already before I even say anything.
No, he knows. It was a funny question.
Yeah.
I haven't even got into the question yet.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just...
It's still funny, though.
I was trying to prove that I understand. So,
I'm now watching Kevin put in his Zoom background himself drumming, and that's making me laugh a little bit too, I gotta say. But so my question is, do you think an event that happened, let's say on February 16th of this year, someone is going to, down the road, want to claim credit for their event possibly being a super spreader event.
That's already happened.
That'd be a level of team cred.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, you mean like a, you mean like an edgelord type?
A what?
An edgelord type or something?
Oh, wow. Yeah, Tom, the sound got funky. Like sort of like if you said you saw Hendrix play at Cafe Wa, that's like cred. But like,
for sure.
So the same thing. If you were at the Glove on whatever day, and it was a super spreader event, is that going to be down the road like some heavy weight to spew on the internet?
Hello.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, and probably someone will spew.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the reality. Like, I mean, I think it's a sort of funny like. Yeah, the idea that, like events worse or not super spreader events is part of this sort of fake news continuum we're living in. So maybe it's worth manipulating that for a couple of chuckles.
I mean, but, anything for a couple chuckles.
Exactly. Yeah, we're running out of things to chuckle at these days, I suppose. But the other thing is your article talked about the percussion guys that are still in Prospect Park. Tell me about them.
What about them?
Just like, so they never stopped.
Well, it's smaller. I mean, it's like
smaller.
It was a small crew, but they're still jamming. I mean, I God bless them. They're still at it. And it's, What are you going to do?
Right. But so then let me ask you this. Do you think, to me, the model should be in the future, in the next 6 to 18 months, that venues shouldn't be focusing on, let's say, digitally stepping up to, like, program or whatnot? They should just be placing musicians in public spaces, in streets and everywhere else, and the environment that you're in, it's not about musician and audience, it's about musician with architecture and environment.
And I love
it. The model of the next 18 months of
I love it because my the doctors I talked to, one of them is a virologist in Seattle, Dr. Josh Schiffer. He was like, you know, we can't really control like the indoor spaces for shows, but outdoor shows are like more viable. And, I love it. Let's set up at the corner of Parkside and Ocean and like maybe give Billy Joel a call and have him pop in and we could bring a Rhodes for him or whatever, but.
Oh man. Yeah. I would totally, if we can get, I mean, yeah, Billy Joel's guitar player follows me on Instagram, so I can try and push him to get Joel involved, you know? Like.
Speaking of Billy Joel, I have to eat dinner, but I'm really thrilled that you guys invited me on the show, and let's get some more gigs happening.
Hell yeah.
Exactly. Man. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the phrase for the rest of the year. Let's get some more gigs happening. Let's get some more gigs happening.
All right, dude. John, have a good night. All right. Peace.
Thanks,
bye.
Man. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's John Kolpitz right there. And you can check out his article on pitchfork.com, Pitchfork Media. It's the best decision that Pitchfork has made in the last 12 and a half years to bring John on as a writer. And John's been writing also for Modern Drummer and a few other things, Bandcamp among others. So happy to have read that article. But yeah, what was that phrase? I already forgot it. Let's make gigs better.
Get some gigs this week.
Let's get some gigs happening. I mean, I've seen Facebook posts about Dave Soulson the baritone saxophone player who does a show on the WFMU Give the Drummer stream on Saturdays. And he's been doing some sort of thing called like car honking, where I think he's driving around and showing up in neighborhoods and playing music out of the car. Have you seen that, Kevin? Those posts?
No, but I mean, you know, I have to say, like, even though there's been some contact virtually with this whole technological snafu into the future, getting that robot action, you know, deep into that cyborg realm, you know, there's another side of me that's got that Charlie Sheen kind of like winning deep inside. I'm trying to stay on my own piece of island. So I've been missing out on some of these specs. So if you fill me in.
Well, yeah, like I said, Sewellson's been part of a crew where, excuse me, I just had some miso soup. I had to burp it out a little bit.
Nice,
you know, it's delicious.
Nice work.
It's delicious. Like, hey, you gave up. You gave up too much information about your ongoing puberty development. I don't mind telling the audience, the listening audience, that I'm burping miso. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. Like,
I thought I was offline. I didn't know I was on the air.
Well, too bad. you gave up the info, bro. Like, So Sewellson has been driving around in his car playing saxophone on the street. And I think it even made the news because I saw Matt Lavelle was also involved in it as well. And then yesterday, Eric Biondo had a cool idea that a city street, your own local block, should just start becoming a venue in the same way, the outdoor zone. So, Kevin, you could try, because you live on 57th Street and 5th Avenue, you could try and talk to your neighbors over there and the Plaza Hotel and see if you can set up your drum set in front of Central Park and have a street party.
Well, yeah, that's my thing. Like, I also like to hang out at the Mandarin Oriental right there. So, you know, also Sting lives up around there somewhere, or at least he goes to his studios nearby there. So sometimes you'll hang out and see Sting walking by. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that in New York City, we do have these environments that are conducive to inspiration, because we see those in these communities, so many of them around us working and still getting stuff done, whether we see it, you know, via Instagram posts or we see them personally out there, you know, with their masks on. It's just something about also just the animalistic nature of the humans, the cockroach-like nature that we want to succeed, you know, and we will. So we will find these different methods to get there.
But we'll find new gigs. Like, that's what this show is about right now, is discovering how to find new gigs. And, you know, the radio, the phone number, folks, is 518-622-2598. And please call, let us know how you're doing. And maybe we can, first I'll ask you, Kevin, have you done your sound check yet for your live stream on Saturday?
Oh yeah, there's a sound check, which I saw your show, which was amazing, by the way. There's a program on TV LREC. What's the address? TVLREC.com?
Yeah, TVLREC. TVLREC.com. That's it.
Yeah, they do streaming. I think once every 2 weeks they're doing the streaming festival. I think they're based in Colombia or Argentina. And
Argentina.
So Matt, you did it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
And so I'm going to do it this week, and we're going to like try to bookend this whole thing with a little Geek Talk membership. So yeah. Anyway,
I did the
OBS, the like, which is a streaming app that, or you know, that you can use on a computer for gamers use this like program a lot. But if you have a Macintosh computer, it's quite difficult to get the sounds of your computer to end up, you know, into the people's ears across the wherever internet realm. Otherwise, you can only use the internal microphone. So I went on that deep search, and then I found this other app that I can download in addition to the OBS. Anyway, it took me like 5 hours to like figure out how to get just Logic to play directly into the stream, and I figured it out. So if anybody wants to know,
cool,
let me know. Yeah,
because because like we did a sound check for an hour the day before the event, and I have we have still the trusty Tascam, you know, recorder from 2009, and then you have a Tascam recorder that I bought at a thrift store for $8 and gave to you because I felt sorry for you. And
wait, what recorder?
What?
What recorder? What Tascam?
Your Tascam interface, man.
Oh, that broke. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it broke? Oh, I didn't know that. I guess, how many years did you get out of that puppy?
Like close to 10.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Like at least 8 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a Tascam and I was going USB from my preamp into the Tascam into OBS. And all I was getting was a glitchy sound of garbage. Finally, I just used the built-in microphone of the computer and just could, you know, be wild and free. But I did want people to hear all of the detailed sounds because at least to me, that seems like a bonus of the moment that you're not just only hearing what a PA sounds like in a room. You could hear yeah. like the real, you know, mesquite flavor of a barbecue.
Yeah. What, I mean, what else do you got in a barbecue? You got the mesquite. You got, what do you like, a little
oh,
cumin?
Have a call.
Maybe?
Caller, you're on the air.
You have a call.
Hey, this is Cade.
Who?
Hello.
Cade. Cade.
Chad?
Cade.
Steve.
Steve.
Cade.
Keith?
Hey, what's up?
What?
Is this Steven Catskill?
Sorry, wait, were you talking to me?
Yeah.
Is this Steven Catskill?
Who am I speaking to right now?
My name's
Kevin.
Hey, all right, you guys are going to have to speak one at a time, you know.
Thank you, monitor / caller. You go ahead, Matt.
My name is Matt.
Matt, what's up, Matt? How you doing?
I'm okay. I had miso soup for dinner. What did you have for dinner?
I haven't eaten dinner yet. We're like cooking chicken or something.
You had some chicken?
No, we're cooking chicken. I haven't eaten yet, you know?
Oh, okay, you haven't eaten yet. Got it. Yeah, how do you prepare your chicken?
I just have my roommate do it for me.
Wow, you got a good roommate then.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
What's his name?
I've been.
He doesn't want to be publicly named.
Okay, well, shout out to the silent roommate who's the cook.
Does he have a nickname?
You can call him the guy with the chicken and the sauce, you know. I like
chicken and the sauce.
The guy with the chicken and the sauce, you know.
I like to...
Well,
like
so how are you doing? Are you a musician?
Some could say. What, are you guys musicians?
Some could say.
List off your primary instruments and run through your fundamentals for me real quick.
Yeah, run
you
through
go
the fundamentals.
First, Kevin.
What?
You go first.
Hey, one at a time, guys. Come on. This is supposed to be a professional radio show. You're letting me down.
By the way, if you want to sponsor the show, you can send us an email and at yomma@gmail.com.
Yomama@gmail.com. Do I get paid for this? Because, you know, I'm kind of in between jobs. I mean, you know how it is with this whole pandemic thing.
Well, it's not really. It's not a monetary. It's not a monetary contribution. It's just
hiring?
Like everyone. Everyone has to be creative.
You're hiring.
We're hiring, but it's not necessarily like a typical hiring situation. We hire
yeah,
and then
I
we
think,
kind of we ghost the employees.
Starting wage would be $12 an hour. So if you can't really match that, then I think I might have to find another location, you know.
Well, that's fair.
What
I mean,
if I
know.
Make chicken better than your roommate?
You think you make chicken better than my roommate?
Yeah, I think I do, actually.
Well, that's you know, maybe you do. I don't know. I've never eaten your chicken. Is this Matt speaking?
Is it what?
Is this Matt speaking? Who said that?
Well, what I've mastered in my chicken is the dry rub.
The dry rub.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I like the sound of it though.
Yeah. So I'll explain what a dry rub is with chicken. Is you buy your chicken, like a half chicken or a whole chicken, and then you defrost it, and then you pat it down, and it's dry, and then you put spices. What?
You slap it around a bit?
You slap it around a little bit, but you make a custom dry rub spice blend.
Cajun powder. You put Cajun powder in that.
You want to hear what my dry rub spice blend is?
You're going to rub me down with your dry rub spice blend?
I'm just going to describe it to you and see if your mouth waters.
Water, you know, the key essential to human survival is water. So I already like...
Totally, exactly. So like if your mouth gets like, if you start salivating based on the description of my dry rub spice blend, we might get an idea if you would like my chicken more than your roommates.
Do you have a recipe online? Because maybe we could use that, because we're still thawing out the chicken a little bit.
Well, take a pencil down, and maybe you can, like, take notes. Because, like, I do this, like, I'm an artist. My dry rub is different every time. I rub it different, you know what I'm saying?
You rub it different every time?
I rub it different every time.
I like the sound of that.
Cool. So first in my dry rub, I got cumin. Then I got paprika. Then I got salt.
Salt.
Then I have pepper.
Pepper.
Then I have garlic.
Garlic.
Wait, what kind of garlic? Like minced? You chop it up yourself or powdered garlic? What are we talking here?
I got this is all powder. Like, this is nothing fresh. It's all dry.
Dry rub. I should have. I'm such an idiot, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. You know, like, I'm happy to work with you here. Because, like, this is all about self-improvement. Like, this is what life is about. So, if you want to go, like, a little free jazz, you could bring in, like, cloves of garlic to the mix. That's not a bad thing. That's a good
look. I'm trying to get that avant dry rub, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So check out, we're going to make the left turn, because so far right now, I've just given you the basic recipe of a dry rub, and you're going to get a typical dry rub chicken taste. But here we go. So now we're going to get into cloves.
Cloves.
We're going to get into cinnamon.
Slap some greenery on that bad boy. I like where you're going with
that. We're going to get into garam masala. And once we get all of those in there in the mix.
Where are you going? Yeah. Why is all this guy walking away, walking out of the room? I can barely hear him, you know?
That's how we do.
The final ingredient in this is allspice, which is essentially cloves and cinnamon, but with also nutmeg. Allspice, Jamaican allspice.
Old spice.
Like the deodorant.
Like we're
not
body
allspice. A-L-L.
Oh. Is that like... Okay.
So when you get all of those flavors mixed up, you put them all together in like a measuring cup, and it looks like the earth, like the topography of the earth. Because you got like different colors. You got salt, pepper, everything. Yeah. Then you put 2 tablespoons of olive oil all over the bird, and you drip it, and you massage it in with your hands.
Hello.
Because you need some of that little bit of wetness to apply to the dry rub to.
You need a little bit of wetness to apply the dry rub to. Little bit of wetness to apply the dry rub to.
Thank you for that, Kevin. So while you've been preparing this dry rub recipe, you get your oven roasting, toasting at 425 degrees.
Roasting and toasting.
You put the bird in after it's all dry rubbed up.
Bourbon?
Bourbon too. Drink some bourbon while your bird is cooking.
You don't put no butter on that thing?
Grab a bird, you know, get a little, you know. Sip some of that Slammo juice, you know, then start cooking the bird, you know. I mean, I know how it goes, you know. I mean, I know.
You got to grill. So let me ask you this. Did this dry rub recipe make you wet?
Am I wet?
Yeah, in your mouth. Are you salivating?
No. I have a severe case of dry mouth right now. I don't know what I could, why, but you know. But
I have, maybe, yeah. You know what I read about today was like after you have dry mouth, and I suspect why you have dry mouth, instead of getting the munchies, you should brush your teeth.
I haven't brushed my teeth all quarantine. That's a good idea.
What about floss? You use that floss?
No, I don't have time or the money or the funds or the courage to do that.
You can use animal hair for the floss, like little cats and stuff, or animals, rodents. Tie them all together.
I'm highly allergic, though.
That's how you get the immunity.
What's keeping you so busy in your day-to-day that you can't brush your teeth for 2 months?
I just been sliming around. I don't know what else to tell you.
You've been climbing around?
He's a rock climber.
Sliming. I do plan on being a rock climber one day, just not today.
So then, caller, it's exciting that you're in touch with us. I appreciate the conversation. Yeah, we had a topic for the show today, because we want to hear your opinion about this. Okay? Right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So do you know who Sun Ra is?
Sun Ra, yes.
Cool. Do you know who Michael Jordan is?
Yeah, he's like the guy on the shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
The shoe.
Let's acknowledge these facts. Sun Ra is born in Birmingham, Alabama. He then traveled to Chicago to start his jazz band.
Yes.
In the 1960s.
I never knew this. Good facts. Good knowledge.
Michael Jordan plays basketball in Chicago.
Hello.
And upon the peak of his worldwide power, suddenly stops playing basketball exactly 1 year after Sun Ra dies. And where does Michael Jordan go?
Alabama.
He goes to Birmingham, Alabama. Yes.
Wow.
To play for baseball is what they say. So what do you think? Is there something afoot here?
You know, maybe, but you know, what I see in this is, but personally, from my mind, what I can construct from these two very, very, you know, topical points. What I put together when I add one and two of these two points, the two things that were the topic that we're speaking of, and when I can join them together in my head, what I come up with thinking of these two topics, when I put it together, the first thing that comes to my mind is we got two powerful, very powerful people, and, you know, I cry sometimes.
Yeah, so that's the beauty of, because he doesn't know, that's like the Ouija board scenario right there. Where does that come from? Where do these emotions come from? It's a catalyst.
I don't mess with Ouija boards. That stuff's kind of...
I cried last Saturday when I was listening to the Billy Joel cover my band released into the internet.
Oh, you had Billy Joel cover your band?
No. We covered... Well, that would be even better. We should try that. See if we can get Billy Joel to cover our band.
Just a couple emails could probably do the trick.
We were covering a Billy Joel song, and it was a German concert, and we heard all the Germans singing in the chorus, "Sing us a song, you're the piano man.
Sing us a song tonight.
And we're all in your
memory.
And you got us feeling all right.
I hate the burst of you guys' bubble, but that's actually Elton John.
Elton! Elton John, Daddy, you wake up.
But so,
still in love.
I'm so Danny back to you. I'm sorry I had to. I'm
the
sorry
Danny
I had to do
the diversion. The pipes all dreaming.
Sorry I diverted the topic, but I agree with you in the sense that Michael Jordan is a powerful person. Sun Ra is a powerful interplanetary being. But what I really want to know is, was Michael Jordan doing some deep reconnaissance of the magic juju to reacquire some new powers, and that's why he was in Birmingham?
Well, all I know is that Mike Tyson is coming out of retirement to open up a can of you-know-what. I can't say it on the radio. I'm not trying to get you guys pulled off the radio, but a can of...
Thank you for being
you
conscientious,
know.
Caller.
Yes. Yeah, we don't want to get fired.
I'm a good guy. I'm a good caller. You know, you can call me anytime.
What town are you in?
Who's that in the background? You got some people back. Why
don't we get your roommate on the phone and I can discuss my chicken recipe with him?
Are we supposed to take... Is there another caller?
All right. You're going to talk chicken with my chicken roommate.
Yeah, I want to talk chicken with your chicken roommate.
What's up, chicken? Can we call him chicken? The chicken?
Yo.
Hello?
We talking cat?
Hi, chicken. Chicken roommate, are you there?
I'm here.
Tell us your chicken recipe.
My chicken. Sweet baby Ray, sriracha, hoisin, white wine vinegar, squash berry soup, black bean vegetarian thing, peanut butter, and a little bit of instant oatmeal.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So that sounds more like instant. So that doesn't sound like you're roasting the chicken. That sounds more like a stir fry marinade. Is that correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yep, I put them all in one big old pot, and I let it go for just about 3 days.
You using those sprouted oats?
Huh?
You using those sprouted oats, or are you using the straight up, just like non-sprouted steel cut? You using instant? You using like which style? Irish full on?
It's actually weight control because I was worried about my figure.
Yeah, you gotta lower it because it'll tell you to put a third cup in there or something. You gotta lower it to a quarter cup and just add some other stuff like hemp hearts and some apple.
Oh, you don't have to.
Yeah, I'm very confused because I've been focusing every day on my caloric density intake, and oats
EGI.
Have a different density of calories based on if you add water to them or not. And so I can't get a straight answer if a quarter cup of oats is actually 90 calories or less, because the
You really want to know?
I want to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me the scoop here, chicken guy.
Yeah, chicken guy. Come on.
It is less than 90.
It is 90?
Yes.
Wow.
So, of course,
we heard it here first.
Did you hear, chicken guy, what my dry rub recipe was?
Just go ahead and run it down for me one more time.
Okay, I'll repeat it. So first we got first we have salt.
Wait, let's all do it together in unison.
Yeah. Number one in the chicken recipe is salt.
Cayenne pepper. Salt.
Number two in the chicken recipe is pepper.
Pepper.
Three, pepper. Cumin.
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 Paprika.
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 Cloves.
Wait. This is the chicken consumer roommate, not the chicken roommate.
Oh.
Did I hear you say cumin?
Cumin.
Cumin. Yeah, cumin, like cumino. AKA coriander, however you want to say it.
Cumin spice. So what?
Cumin?
Is that like a skin graft type situation? How do you do that?
Yeah, skin graft. It's like, they got like US Maple plays on that record, on that chicken.
I heard those guys
play some music sometimes.
They like their chicken.
Are you guys in Los Angeles?
I play the banjo.
You play the banjo?
Have you been to LA?
Yeah, you know, just on my bluegrass with. You know, I'm really trying to be like Jerry Garcia, you know. I really love Jerry Garcia. You know, have you ever heard of this guy?
Is that the band?
Never
the great
heard of
band?
Jerry Garcia. Tell us more about him.
I'm talking about the gentleman.
Sing it to us.
He was like a really trippy dude.
Does
he was in a band called like Fish, right?
Yeah, with a PH.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when Les Claypool formed the supergroup with called Oysterheads, and they had the guitarist from Fish in there?
Yeah, and so yeah, Jerry. So that's Jerry. Cool. So are you going to play some banjo tribute for Jerry Garcia right now?
Well, I'm more so inspired by Jared Leto's music that he's making right now.
Oh wow! I haven't kept up on Jared Leto's Instagram.
Leto, my ego.
Lego, my ego. Yeah, he made the little jingle for Eggo waffles.
He got really serious, like that Batman guy.
What about, do you think, how many girls do you think kind of developed their first crush on Jordan Catalano?
So many. It's probably
hard
to count.
From the My So-Called Life show, Kevin. Kevin's older than me, even though he's experiencing puberty today. And so he was already playing cool drums and Storm and Stress when I was watching My So-Called Life.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. And I just feel like, you know, I just want to thank the Academy and everyone out there who's giving me my shot over all these years, you know, carrying my drums on the Greyhound and with the cart, with the rock and roller cart. For several decades, it's been, so you know, not necessarily a dream of mine. It hasn't been really that fun.
Kevin, how does it feel to have hit your peak as a drummer in 1995?
Yeah, and then I was thinking about that the other day, and how it's funny how things just, you think, oh wow, my life's gonna be great, and then things just, it's sort of like a denouement. Normally, a denouement is like what? How many 10, 15 pages? Mine's some people have like a 25-year denouement. So it's been very exciting.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my day.
Well, now you have time to watch My So-Called Life, Kevin. That's a good. You should do a book report on it for us since you're 12 years old, hitting puberty.
I'll do it.
For next week, come back to with us and do a 12-year-old's book report on My So-Called Life.
Okay.
Step-by-step tutorial.
Well, is the chicken roommate still in the mix?
It's marinating right now. It smells nice. I wish you guys were here to
smell it.
So what
do you think about Sun Ra and Michael Jordan? Is there a real connection, or am I just babbling?
You know, there could be. I'm not too sure. You know, I never really watched basketball. But I know Mike Tyson, like I said before, is coming out of retirement. And he's a heavy hitter, you know. He's a once-in-a-lifetime athlete.
So, like, if Mike Tyson's coming out of retirement, what's the analogy for the musician that would also come out of retirement right now to play?
Got to be a freak of an athlete, got to be a heavy hitter, and you got to be an animal. You got to be a beast, you know. It's all about being a monster.
Like Sinead O'Connor.
Would that be like Charles Gale? Maybe?
Gale? Earnhardt
Britney Spears.
Charles Gale?
Earnhardt Jr.? Yeah, he died in a car crash. But, you know, if he was still racing today, you know, he's one of those freak athletes. He'd really drive that car really fast, you know.
So you related to the guy with the bike, the motorcycle?
Yeah, he could be. You know, we don't know these things, though. That's like something that we'll find out later in life, you know, when we're mature enough to understand these things.
I mean, how old are you? Have you hit puberty yet?
No, I'm like I said earlier, I'm still waiting. I'm 22, but, you know, it'll come. It's coming. I can smell it. I can smell it coming.
Yeah, you'll smell that puberty rose. That's exciting.
What do you smell when you smell it?
Like
chicken, dry rub.
Smells like that. It smells like that sweet, sweet dry rub.
Exactly. So when you're smelling that dry rub, you might have a different sensation, Kevin, than normal.
Then I know that puberty's about to hit.
Yeah, exactly. When the oven rings the bell and you dive into that chicken breast after you've dry rubbed all over it, you're going to be ready to munch and this keep is, on munching.
It's starting to get poetic.
Should yeah. I keep going with my poetry?
Yeah, that was a good yeah. start. I mean, yeah.
On the day of your day, after the hours of waiting, you will create a great new way to be in the world. C-H-I-C-K-E-N. Dry rub all over that.
What do you guys... You were talking about this earlier, but the future of gigs and stuff. What do you think that's...
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enough of this dry rub talk. You know, you guys are getting me all hot and bothered.
Yeah, let's talk about gigs. We only got 9 minutes left.
9 minutes left? Okay, quick. Go, go, go. Ready? Go.
Okay, I'll go first. Gigs that are coming in the future, hopefully. And if not, I think that luckily between technology and just the sheer human spirit that wants to survive like a cockroach, we will make it happen, gig related around people or not. Next.
Yes. All right.
It's the same
thing?
As Mike.
No, it's
you
turn.
Go.
It's Matt's turn. No, you go. You go.
Okay. It's my turn. So, yeah, gigs are like a pizza. Sometimes yeah. you get your pizza from the Pizza Hut. Sometimes you get it from Domino's. Sometimes you get it from Sal and Carmine. Sometimes you just get the pizza homemade, and that pizza is a tortilla with a piece of pepper jack cheese and a tiny little bit of Tabasco. Oh!
Oh! Say what?
Hey, you know what they say. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
There you go. Exactly.
That's my input on gigs in the future. You know, actually, let me say this. Gigs, you know, they come and they go. You know what I'm saying? But hear me out here. You know, a gig, it's sort of like a lighter, you know. The flame can only burn for so long, and then when it burns out, you just buy a new one.
I think now, see, this is the philosophy has reached its pinnacle. We only have 7 minutes left. Should we check in?
Would you like me to give? Would you like me to hang up so you guys have the last 7 minutes to yourself?
We're gonna have a musical seance to bring.
Yeah, play some banjo or something. Get out of. Do you got an instrument there? Saxophone.
No. I'm still waiting for my sponsor to send it in the mail.
You got a kazoo?
No, I just have my. I got my voice.
All right. Cool.
What if God was one of us? Just
what if God was one of us?
That's beautiful, man. Hey, you know, I'm gonna leave you guys to your last 5 minutes. You know, I want you to slay the rest of your show, the last of your segment of this radio station. You know, because I believe that beauty and the future resides within the youth of this great, horrible nation.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a party.
Hey, you guys, take it easy now. I'll catch you later.
All right, take it easy, caller. Man, that was a pleasure. Thank you. That was awesome. I'll tell you what, we're deep in the realm of gig talk here. Not only are we partying with people all over the planet all at once, and maybe in New York, if you're in New York, it's approximately almost 9 p.m. Let's say you're in Tokyo. What time is it there? Let's say it's like 11 a.m. or maybe it's 13 hours. We don't know. The point is that all of us uniting in this technological way, staring at the computers, envisioning ourselves out there in a different landscape, perhaps amongst the palm trees, perhaps you're in a
forest somewhere, or you're on the West Coast, East Coast, Holiday Inn, up north, down south. Perhaps you're a vegan. Perhaps you're vegetarian. Perhaps you eat any kind of food at all, and you spice things up. Take those vitamins, and you're into supplements. You know, these are the type of things that. What's that?
I couldn't hear if anyone else was playing with me, but that's like a lot of gigs anyway.
Well, I think we lost the caller, but we only have 4 minutes, so I don't think anybody else called in today. But that means yeah. We're going to save it up for next time.
Well, yeah, Kevin, you didn't tell me if you think there's anything to the coincidence that Sun Ra leaves the planet exactly 1 year before Michael Jordan arrives in Birmingham. Do you think that Michael Jordan was seeking some secret knowledge of Birmingham life to apply to his future?
I mean, this is an interesting conundrum because also, you know, when did the first Nike Jordan come out?
1985, 84.
So it came out a decade before Jordan arrived in Birmingham.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's true. Yeah, exactly. Like, good point. So like Nike, keep going here.
No. You can take, all I'm saying is, did the marketing of the Air Jordan over a 10-year period kind of put the quash on, you know, like people in the community trying to do maybe a less commercial type of outlook.
Well, check this out. I'll say this. The word Phil Knight, and Phil Knight is the CEO of Nike. The word Phil Knight sounds very similar to the word Sun Ra. Yeah. So
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes, exactly. But no, it's possible that Phil Knight was actually Sun Ra in his like imposter form, because Sun Ra is an interplanetary being. So it's possible that Sun Ra inhabited Phil Knight in 1984, giving Michael Jordan a $250,000 sneaker advance, even though he hadn't even played a game of professional basketball yet. And then 10 years later, Michael Jordan is in Birmingham, Alabama, for some reason, just to quote unquote play baseball.
But also, did the do you think he also went there, Michael Jordan, to try to investigate this levitational advance that Sun Ra had? You know,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Sun Ra had this interplanetary portal levitation zone, and
hey,
Jordan.
There's a caller. We have a caller. Oh.
Am I on the air right now?
Yeah.
Well, I think you guys are missing an essential connection between Michael Jordan and Sun Ra. You guys haven't even talked about Space Jam yet.
That's for next week. Well, that's for next week. Yeah.
Let us know a quick taste.
Yeah, give us a preview.
I mean, obviously, it's like, you know, Sun Ra's Afrofuturist vision, you know, space is the place. I think that Michael Jordan was trying to continue this legacy with Space Jam.
Yes, exactly. And I have not watched Space Jam ever. I will watch it next week and do a book report on that. And Kevin will do a book report on my so-called life.
What you have to do is you have to watch it on mute and actually play Sun Ra's music in the background. There's hidden meanings in it.
Oh! Wow. I mean, yeah, bravo. Hey, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. We love you.
Yeah, no problem.
A round of applause. We got to get off the air. Thank you, Tom. It's been Gig Talk. We love you. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station.
Same place. Planet.